This is a HeadGum Original.
Ooh! Are you trying to get your mug a beat? Are you trying to contour those brow bones? Maybe you're trying to lift those cheeks, mommy. Well, if you're gonna do it, you need to do it with a quality product. That's why I am tired of beauty products not meeting my standards. It's time to reshape the beauty world as we know it. Well, wait no longer. Meet Worthy We Cosmetics, the first sustainable luxury beauty brand in the US. I love Worthy We because they have amazing cream bronze tours, as they say them, which is sort of like this cream blush that sculpts your skin and also like covers all the imperfections. As a newer drag queen, I need help from a gorgeous product like this because Worthy We Cosmetics are vegan, cruelty-free, and even the packaging is biodegradable. So not only do I get my bronze tour shade like perfectly blended into my mug, I'm able to build like a new beauty routine. It's so easy to use, unlike some products that are confusing. These cream blushes are buildable in a way that you can't go wrong. Like, they're unbelievable. They're unrivaled. It's become a beauty favorite for me. Truly, the wear and finish is smooth, clean. I know you're gonna love them as much as I do, especially if someone like me who's brand new to creams and contourings. If you're as new as I am and you could look as smooth as this skin is looking, you're gonna love it. So treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand right now. Treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20%, oh my God, 20% off your first order at Worthy We Cosmetics, spelled WORTHYOUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER. That's Worthy OUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER for 20% off your first order.
Sunshade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
I ate the bones. That's right. You're back on the world's only RuPaul's Drag Race Recap podcast. We ate the bones and we accidentally did the game within a game. Holy moly, I'm so excited today because we are joined by the original Pretzel Girl. You heard of Tub Girl? This is Pretzel Girl. Rock-a-ta-ti-ta-ta. Yeah, it's Rachel, bitch. Ooh la 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 la. Say bloom. Say bloom. Mocha chocolate, yeah. You can't handle her snatch. It's crazy ass girlfriend, Rachel Bloom. Rachel.
Oh, you can't top that.
You can't top that, is what they say in a gay bar. Woo! Gay bar humor is alive and well, Rachel. Rachel, you're back. How are you?
I'm good. I mean, I saw you yesterday.
Yes.
And we both saw, you said I ate all the bones, which reminded me of one of the funniest things, of course, that has happened, which is that Gilly and Betsy's dog ripped a piece of fried chicken out of my husband's mouth.
It was so funny. And your husband is such a sweet man that he just was like, I think most people are like, no, but he was just like, oh, like I just saw him like very much be like, you're in control, dog.
You're not about to rip a piece of chicken out of like a big dog's mouth. It took three grown adults to pry that piece of chicken out of Wilma's mouth.
It really did.
It was truly delightful. It was harrowing and truly delightful.
It was so cute. Yeah, it was great. Hung out in a park yesterday. What a treat. You were wearing your Drag Her merch, which God bless.
Well, from an episode I was on, inspired by our conversation. Cake
totally.
Is just bread and drag. You guys should all go and buy the Drag Her merch.
Please. You know, we're gonna send some, we want to send some funds to the Okra Project. And we need you to buy merch to do that. So visit the link on our Instagram link or just search Drag Her on Redbubble. Because that there's a lot of fun stuff to buy. And you can like put it, it's fun. I like how you can like put it on backpacks and shower curtains and insane things. I like how they do that on that website.
It's so funny. It looks like it's something that you have personally decided, that you decided that you were like, I want to put it on a shower curtain, but it's just the website.
It's just the website. It's about rage. My God, it's been a while.
It's been so long. And let's.
Yeah. Well, what should we talk about first?
Well, look, I just quickly want to be a basic, obvious bitch and say that the game within a game episode was, I think, my favorite episode of Drag Race that there has ever been. It was just great. Endlessly entertained.
It was great.
And I understand. I read some of like the comments that Silky had, you know, a week to prepare the stunts and the props, but you know what? I don't care. It was amazing.
My understanding is that if you're eliminated, you also get a couple days to prepare your stunts. You know what I mean? Because the way it worked was when you were eliminated, you then lip synced on the next episode's finale. So you had a couple days to prepare.
Oh, yes. You know what? You're right. Because Jan,
They were all de-dragged.
Jan did an interview with Las Culturistas.
Oh, great.
And was talking about how she didn't know who she'd be lip syncing for.
Right.
Until she got there. So you're right. They did have time.
A couple days. I think
they know what the song is. Yes. Very well.
Shockingly well, to be like, how many? I mean, and I don't, gimmicks is not the right word, but just to be like, to bring all this versatility to her performances was like, wow, Silky, wow.
Like, sure, gimmicks, but like, especially obviously Barbie Girl, that was so tailored to the song.
Amazing.
So when is it like a gimmick or a stunt, and when is it an awesome comedic choice or an awesome choice for the song? And I loved it. And that's why I love Eureka, and Eureka had an amazing lip sync, but I was disappointed that Silky wasn't back. Like, after all that, like, You working your ass off that much, like, you kind of deserve to be back.
It's kind of the best story to be like, she's back. Personally, to me,
yeah.
Did you feel like that last lip sync was Eureka's, or do you feel like we were edited to believe it was Eureka's?
Look, I mean, Silky got stuck in the costume.
Yeah. So it seemed like her least exciting comedic choice, for sure.
Yeah, it was, had she not gotten stuck in the costume, it might've been a wash.
Yeah.
But yeah, Eureka obviously really connected with the song. I mean, even though it's that song is about the joy of losing someone. Yeah.
Okay. That one was so funny about that to me too. The lip sync was like, you're happy that they're gone. Like, it doesn't exactly work for Eureka's narrative.
Well, it was weight loss and grief. Look, either way, it was a really powerful lip sync.
It was really great. I love Eureka.
And Eureka has almost won numerous times.
There's a time where I thought she should have won, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
With the pink table talk. I was like, Eureka won that. What are we doing?
Yes. Yes. Agreed. So I love that she's back.
And I should say, people thought I was like incendiary about her online because I was joking that she won $20,000 for telling America she shit herself.
Oh, did you get some shit on Twitter or something?
Yes, people were like, I can't believe people discredit Eureka! And I was like, I'm just joking. It's funnier to say it that way than she won a lip sync and got $20,000. I am happy for her. I think she's an incredible drag queen. Can we all relax? That stuff.
Look, this is why I'm thrilled to not be on Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter's crazy.
It personally is just very triggering for me.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's all of the, we've talked about this numerous times. It's all of the things that play into bad mental health habits. Anyway, yes. I'll probably go back on it at some point.
Please.
It's so true. I love a good shit story. The book that I wrote is filled with shit stories because it is one of the most vulnerable things we can do.
Yeah.
Is like shit ourselves. It's also the symbol of like the unspoken spoken. It's the inside becoming outside. It's like shitting and pissing ourselves and vomiting and then like perioding are like the few times in life where
inside
like
we kind of outside.
we kind of get a hint of like, oh, we're disgusting. Mm-hmm. Like we're just like, we're truly, truly gross. And like,
we're just unproperly zipped up Ziplocs leaking out everywhere all the
time. Absolutely. Yeah. And we pretend we're not, but when someone shits themselves, it's like, well, yeah, that was bound to happen because filled with so much shit.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's so crazy. Biologically, we have a little stink hole. And we're just supposed to be in charge of it 24/7? No.
We're not capable of being in charge of it.
It's crazy.
And we pretend that it's not. Like we pretend that we're not. There's a bidet in every toilet in my house. So I am
I love bidets.
I love the tushy bidet, just shoots cold water right up your fucking asshole.
That's drag her / tushy. No, I want tushy to sponsor us. We fucking love tushy. Tushy. I love a bidet. I get so bummed when I travel and I don't have a bidet. I get so bummed.
They make a travel bidet now.
They do?
And then I was looking it up online. There are a bunch of places that make travel bidets. Here's my issue is that if you have a travel bidet, every time you use it, isn't the water from your butt just going to get back on your hand and the bidet? Mm. And you're going to have to wash it every time?
Is it something you still hook up to like a water main?
No, it's just like a pump.
Okay. It's not a perfect science, especially when you're spraying water into your ass. It's not a exact science.
No, it's not. Sometimes I like to just like get it. It feels like water in the clown's mouth sometimes with the bidet, where I just try to get it like perfectly up there.
Oh, yes.
You know, because you can like
a carnival.
Yeah, like you can clean the rim, like the bidet, you kind of like, you can like jiggle around and clean your rim. And then like, sometimes though, you're like, I want to see what it feels like when it just like goes straight up to, like through colon out of my mouth.
I've definitely had it feel that way. And I've really worked up my bidet, tolerance. At first I used to be like, wowza. And now I'm literally like, not enough water pressure.
Absolutely. Me too. And with like the cold water too, which I never thought I would get used to. No, I love it.
Yeah.
I feel sparkling clean, but it's a lie. It's all a lie because it's a lie that I'm clean. And the answer is we're all dirty. We're all dirty. And
we're all born naked and the rest is shit. You know what I'm saying? okay. How about this controversy happening in the fandom of like, they've like, you know, there was a lot of people have been like, they punished Rock'em Sakura for, you know, doing a fart joke. And then Yuriko wins for her shit story. And to that, I say the context is different.
I was pro Rock'em Sakura's fart jokes.
Me too. And I love Rock'em Sakura.
So, they're completely different contexts.
Yeah.
I think the fart joke was kind of, if I remember, it was just kind of random where it's like, I'll land a fart. And it was just like kind of a fart very quickly in a rap. Whereas like Eureka's was a long built out story that it wasn't just about the shit. It was like, I love her conclusion of her story, which was like, I just shit myself. And like, it was like owning it. That was the most beautiful part about the story.
Yes. It's grounded. There's context. It's about her wanting to be her best as a performer. And pushing yourself to perform when, you know, you have something to prove, but, you know, biology gets you. It's more grounded. And that's always going to be more relatable than just a fart in the middle of like a Fosse piece, if I remember correctly.
Yes. So it was just kind of like, it was just very, I still liked it a lot.
Yeah.
They're just two kind of like different things. I don't know. Like what's the controversy? People are like,
I don't know.
It's a double standard or whatever.
I guess.
Well, yeah. The judges make baffling decisions. Like the judging on every show, but especially this one is like wildly fucking subject. It is.
Yeah. Subjective. It is subjective. And you know what? We kind of live for
Michelle hates the color green.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're not always going to agree with stuff. Green is like my favorite color. Right? I love wearing green. My Golden Globes dress was green.
I love green. Who lives in a world where if a wig falls off your head, you're dead to her. And that's subjective too. It's a subjective thing. Drag is wild. We've all seen it. I mean, remember that bug look Shea Coulee gave? They called it crafty.
I fucking loved it. That.
Me too. But that was like put her in the bottom that week. Just like what's happening?
Right. Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, so I don't agree with that controversy. I think context is everything, and that's my official opinion.
How dare you, Rachel? How very dare you? Okay. So we're in this app. We're watching. There's a mini challenge where they're like, because they're drag queens, they don't get to be homos in this purest pride sense. So they have to dress up as little pride homos.
Right. That they're too busy being in drag to dress up for pride, which, okay, sure.
Sure. It's very funny. It's a very silly mini challenge. It's the classic photo mini challenge where they put you into a poorly photoshopped photo.
Yeah, this was fun. Yeah, it was fun. Now, did they cut off their own Levi's? I'm trying to remember.
I think they were asked to like style it or something. Like,
so they were already like, they were already, I'm looking at pictures. They were already,
I can also
theoretically
share.
Like cut off. Yeah, screen share that shit.
Right.
They were like, theoretically, they were like cut off shorts.
Yes.
Like, okay, there was like a Eureka jean jacket.
Had like a hole in her butt, which I did enjoy her butthole.
Oh yeah, look at that. That's Trinity has like these like fully, I mean, yes. barely pants. Oh, it looks like they also maybe had Levi's shirts.
Yes, they had all kinds of trend. We have Ginger. Her fucking confetti streamer pom-pom wig.
It's really good.
Her tits, lift for it. Yeah, it's cute. It's cute. It's great. I mean, this mini challenge is pretty inconsequential. It's cute, but
I like the photos.
We've been here so long, and oh god, Kylie looks so good.
Oh god,
Kylie's they've been here so long. I can't believe they have the endurance to keep doing this with just smiles on their faces.
It's so hard. I really like the photoshopping them into the pride photos.
Yes,
that's super fun.
It's fun. I love. Raja, what about Raja's journey on All Stars? I mean, God bless.
What a roller coaster. And oh, you know, just
dropping in the splits.
It's funny. I still don't associate Raja, even though Raja's been in the bottom the most, I associate Raja with obviously being such a front runner.
Uh-huh.
So actually doing the math, I gotta say, like, because the queens are all respecting the track record math so much.
Right.
It's making the whole like they have to vote a little bit boring.
It just is
because no one is gonna like no one's gonna pull shit right now because they know they now we know the internet they know the internet will destroy them. No one's gonna off Ginger because they will be eviscerated.
I know, which is a shame. There's been nothing but absolute rule following, maybe with an exception to one or two, but like. But it's never been like, I'm taking you out. It's only been like, oh, I just kind of thought she did worse.
Yeah, it's like what, I mean, look, it's how I would play it. But I think about Roxy Andrews being spared.
She sure was.
Over everyone in, was it us? Is it three or two?
Two, yeah. Yep.
And like, I highly disagreed with all of that.
I know, especially when it was at Alyssa's.
Oh, that was just a rough, just Roxy being elevated over everyone. Like, hey, Vay.
Gutting. That was gutting. Yeah, it was tough. I wish we lived in a little more normal fandom world where it could just be like a choice was made. And but hopefully I know they won't. I'm not even going to lie and say the fans will learn something. But like the fans could learn that like to enjoy the TV show more. We might have crazier shit happen on the TV show.
You know what? It's not just it's fandom, but it's also like it's Twitter. Like now that you can get everyone's opinion at once, you're not going to be able to like be as free as you would like before the internet. And that's just, I guess, a thing.
It's just a thing.
It's the world. That's the world we're in. It's the world we're in. And TikTok, Vine in conclusion.
And to summarize.
TikTok, your vines, always wear a seatbelt.
We are at that age.
Yeah.
So, okay. So we're going to talk about this main challenge, but first, silence.
Oh,
I feel like taking a break.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me decrap my brain. Because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Hi, listeners. Here to tell you about a very important organization called Al Otro Lado, which helps to reunify families which have been ripped apart due to our country's cruel border policies. As you know, since 2018, many people have been suffering through these policies, which have taken children away from their parents. And Al Otro Lado is working to reunify families. They've already reunified over 100 refugee families, and they create legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the United States and Tijuana. We want you to get involved today. Help me support Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode below, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. That's alotrolado.org/volunteer.
Bring back
my break. We're back. Ooh, Delally. I don't even know who won that mini challenge because who cares?
Yeah, I think honestly I was folding clothes when I was watching it on my laptop.
Eureka's butt won for me. Her butt. That's it.
That was really good. I'm really glad Eureka's back on
too.
This. I really love
But
I know. I kind of wanted both of them to come back.
Why not? Right?
And then just do a double elimination.
Just do it. Just be
do
like,
it. Fine.
Like, two of you are dead next week. What I think is that they knew whoever they were going to bring back was going to be in the top four, is my production opinion. Because I think they were like, we need to make the game within a game worth the journey. Because my God, we made them go for this journey for so long. So they knew who they were going to bring back was going to be in top four. And they weren't sure if they wanted Silky to be in the top four. That's my opinion.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, like Top Chef has done that like a couple times where the person will come back from Last Chance Kitchen, which is the game within a game of Top Chef.
Yes,
and then like they'll instantly get eliminated. And it's like, well, that was stupid.
Right. It kind of feels
what a waste of time. And it's because it was being judged completely fairly. Although you don't know because you can't taste the fucking food. So who knows?
That too. Also, is the food ever hot when they get to taste it? Like, is it ever hot?
I think it depends, but I think it is because sometimes they'll say like, my plate is cold.
Yeah. I guess it has to be. I always just wonder about the filming and setups. Like, do they ever eat the actual hot food?
No. Oh, wait. For people listening to this podcast and you, mm-hmm. which is everyone.
Everyone in this reality, we've agreed upon. That is such a fucked up like moment of consciousness. Because it's like, if people can't hear this, they don't exist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So for everyone living in this current reality, if you want to see a bunch of straight people being absolutely ridiculous, I would check out the show Alone, which is on, yes, I believe it's History Channel, but it's now on, but also on Netflix.
Yes, I've seen some of it.
It is some of the most like crazy, and I'm more talking about with the men on the show, like the most like masculine posturing, because you basically have to survive alone in the Arctic. And I'll spoil one thing from there's this one guy who's like, I am a survivalist.
I gained
200 pounds for this journey. I gained 200 pounds. And then within 2 hours, he breaks his ankle.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I loved him. I was like, this is the metaphor for America.
It's so good.
Being fat makes me stronger. gaining weight makes me stronger. I broke my foot on day one. It was perfect.
It's straight drag. And that is the most. Well, it's like we've talked about with the WWE or the WWF, how that is like drag.
Yes.
This is like the mini challenge where they all have to be as like butch as possible. Mm-hmm. This is that for 8 episodes. They're eating rats.
Right.
And they're like, this
twig is edible. I know, because I studied twigs. Like, yeah, it's so, yeah. Like, did you, or are you just kind of rolling the dice on this one?
They did, but oh man, I mean the amount of times people on that show eat squirrel and then have to go home because they have a parasite from eating the squirrel.
Oh my God.
They get really sick.
Disgusting. Yeah.
It's really, really gross. Anyway, highly, highly recommend it.
I love it. This might just be what we do on the pod next. Sorry, Drag Race. We might just start covering Alone.
But do it in like a really like Drag Race fandom.
Yes.
Do a runway, a chirping burp all the fashion. Cause they'll start making fashion. Like they'll start doing weird things where it's it's my rabbit head shawl. Right.
I need these branches on my eyes to cover my scent. Yeah. They're fucking, you lose your mind.
Yeah. They truly go crazy. Anyway, back to the challenge. I'm so surprised they haven't done the cunt monologues before. And I'm so happy that we can actually hear them say, I think at least Ginger says like the cunt monologues.
Oh my God. Great. It was gratifying. Because it is a long episode title otherwise. if you'll check your DVR or the Amazon, it says the whole damn thing out. And that's just too fucking long.
Yeah.
So this is like a monologue thing. These are stories a la The Moth. You know, it's it's similar to the one person show thing from season 12, but it's a little bit more like tell a monologue. This is The Moth, I feel like.
Look, it's the vagina monologue. It's obviously based on the vagina monologues, which it would have been interesting to have Eve Ensler as a judge potentially.
Ooh, I mean, what a treat.
But the interesting thing about the vagina monologues is it very much is like a play where it is very kind of what they're doing here, which is like when I think about The Moth or storytelling shows, they're sometimes a little more like loose, you know, I don't know. Maybe not. Anyway, this felt very true to the challenge, the way they were like telling their stories. It was very like presentational and very like kind of, meticulous. And planned out. But I think this is a really cool challenge.
I think it's really fun. Spoiler, we'll talk more in detail, but I think everyone does very good or better. It is a crazy thing to throw at a drag queen. It's a little mean to be like, you have to tell an amazing story. It's curious what kind of story. I think that figuring out the tone is very hard for them, right? Because I think so many of them did go draggy and maybe even blue. It's hard to decide if the judges are going to like that or be like, you kind of went dirty.
Well, they had to tell a story about being in drag and about being a drag queen, which is always going to be then something, you know, either about performing or like coming into your identity. You don't necessarily equate a shit story with it, but like, why not? Yeah, I almost shit. Also, like, that some of the best stories, if you're telling performing stories, like almost shitting yourself on stage or shitting yourself on stage is really good. Like, I almost shit myself on stage during my 201 improv show. And like, it's not a great story, but because for the entire 35-minute show, I had had the spicy Chipotle beef and I was like, oh, this is going to be a problem. I'm going to diarrhea myself. It gives attention.
You had not carnitas. You had the other barbacoa.
That's exactly what I had. I had a barbacoa burrito bowl right before an improv show. It was such a huge fuck up.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to have to leave the stage. I'm going to fail this improv class.
Yeah.
I can't fail this improv class.
I need this. Oh my God. Yeah. It's crazy. I trying to think what I would tell I have only a handful of drag stories, but one being where I got like kind of in a fight with the sound booth while I was on stage.
No way.
Where I was like, play the track. And they were like from the God mic. They were like, I don't have it. To a sold out crowd. I was like, are you sure? Like, and I wanted to fight them. It felt like when, you know, like you and you want to fight in with like at like the family party where like there's like clearly people visiting the house and you want to be like, you have the fucking track, but you can't, you have to just be like, are you sure? I think you have the track. And I maybe would tell that. I'm not sure. What story would you tell? Like it just general, like performing. Would you tell that one?
I was thinking about it. And my favorite performing story does not even feature it. I'm present for it, but it's not about me. I'll tell it right now.
Perfect.
So this is like before Greg Renard. This is 14 years ago. I was in a kind of pretty mediocre to bad sketch show in the basement of a theater in New York. It wasn't a UCB. It was just at this random theater in New York. And it was like this unaffiliated sketch show. And I was in it. When I say mediocre to bad, it was mediocre, let's say. Mm-hmm. And my friend, Greg Burke, I've done a lot of comedy with him, was in the sketch. And, the premise was... it was this, then the cat's in the cradle with the silver spoon. It was about that song. Okay. Wait, I'm trying to remember. Okay. Here's what happened. It was a sketch show where we had a house band. And so in between sketches, the house band would come in. But for this last sketch, it involved Greg and us as backups, everyone else in the sketch show singing the cat's in the cradle, the silver spoon. And then I think the game of the sketch was that after every verse, when you coming home, dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, son. And every single time, I'm not saying this was a great sketch. Every single time Greg would go like, I don't know, son. Okay. I do not know when I'm coming back. Basically just acting out the song and making the son sound super annoying. That was the sketch. So the end of the sketch was he freaks out. He goes, I do not know when, okay? I do not know when I'm coming back. And then he was supposed to go, but no one over. And then he was supposed to then take a bucket labeled gasoline and dump it on himself. And then be about to light a match and then sing, but no one overreacts like me. And then we all come in with the band and go, overreaction, 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 overreaction. Okay. So that was the sketch. Again, not saying this is a good sketch.
No, yes. Okay.
This was the sketch. The house band was not great. They did not know their cues. So it's the show. Greg dumps. So Greg freaks out. Greg dumps the gasoline on himself, which is really just a bunch of water. He bucket challenges himself before the bucket challenge. He's soaking wet. He goes, but no one overreacts like me. And the band does not come in. And we don't come in because we're waiting for the band. So Greg is standing there in utter silence, soaking wet for what feels like an hour.
Yes, yes, yes.
It felt like an hour. It probably was 30 seconds, right, which is still absurd.
Oh, it's an eternity. It's eternity on stage.
It's an absolute eternity. I've never been more humiliated by someone else. And I was part of this because at any point we could have just come in a cappella and cued the band.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't.
Oh my God.
It was the opposite of I got your back. It was, I don't have your back. I'm going to stab you in the back. We all failed him. And he just...
What had you do?
Stood there soaking wet. And
no!
It was great.
Okay, I also have a humiliation on stage story.
Please,
I just remembered.
Please, share.
Okay, this is disgusting. So, and this is, once again, I'm not saying this to disgust people, but it is disgusting. So there was this sketch show at UCB called Celebrity Barf Machine.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. It's all about being disgusting and gross. And I think at this time, I was so eager to prove myself as someone who like goes there.
That's what they trade on, though, because this is a spinoff of a show that started in New York called Dirtiest Sketch Contest.
Yes.
And what they trade off of is what they do is like, okay, we're going to get a bunch of young students who are eager to prove themselves cool, who are going to absolutely debase and humiliate themselves on stage to be cool. And that, because like very rarely was it the top people at the theater who were going to come on stage and like show you their labia or whatever. Okay. So anyway,
never.
Go on.
That's a great and important distinction. Cause right. I'm like doing stuff at UCB. You want to make connections with people and there's like a weird little pressure. Your friends are doing weird shit in shows. So you're like, yeah, I'm going to do something weird in the show. And I obviously know shit has been done before. Piss has been done before.
I'm really excited for, I think what you're about to tell about is something I heard about and wish I was there for. So go on.
It was, so I was like, I could do something with cum. So I devise a plan and I was like, because it's all about being a celebrity. I'm like, what celebrity do I kind of look like? I was like, I guess I could do Mario Lopez. You know, he's one of the only brown celebrities. So I was like, okay, I'll be Mario Lopez and I'll play a game called Guess That Cum. And I then go on the journey of asking my friends, hey, will you come in a Dixie cup for me so that I can go on stage, drink your cum, and try to properly identify whose is whose. Of course, in this process, I humiliate myself and disgust many people. And of course, I was like, I need it on the day of. So I'll bring you like a Dixie condiment container. You can come in it and give it to me. I'll like shuffle it up with different specimens. I won't know who this is because I was like, I'm going to do this experiment live on stage.
But how did you label each? How was there an answer key?
So I labeled them beforehand at like A, B, C, D, E. I think that was five. And then didn't look at them after handing off each cup. You know what I'm saying? So they would know what letter they were.
Okay.
Disgusting. And oh, this is even more disgusting. That very same day, I was at an early wedding ceremony. And at the wedding ceremony, I needed like one or two more people. And I was like, I was at a wedding for comedians. So I went up to people. This is so disgusting. And I went up to some people who I only kind of knew. I was like, you want to come in a cup for me? And of course, everyone was like, people are disgusted. Whatever. I get my close friends to come in cups. including, unfortunately, Drew Tarver, Dan Lippert, Tony Rodriguez.
I didn't know Tony was one of them. Yes. That surprises me. He's very private.
Yes, I know. It was crazy.
Okay.
I think that was it. I can't tell. I think the one other person backed out at the last minute, which is of course, they were like, I can't. And I'm like, of course I can't. This is the most disgusting thing I've ever asked anyone to do.
Also, and like,
I'm doing it because I want
putting yourself
on stage.
At risk.
I get on stage with Mario Lopez. I have the gentleman there who's come. I'm trying to guess. I'm taking it out of the Dixie cup. People suspect it might not really be cum. So to prove it, I'm doing a finger to finger touch test. And I'll never forget it. Lauren Lapkus is in the audience. And I make eye contact with her, and she's genuinely dry heaving, like not performatively. She's even like trying to make it small. She's in her seat, like, And I don't know. I guess like one person's correctly. I get off stage, and I immediately knew it was not worth it.
I mean, I heard that it was great for the record. And
it was that weird thing where you're like, people will remember this, but like the sound, I should say the sound from the audience was that mixture of disgust and like Roman Coliseum type excitement. It was like, oh, you know what I mean? It wasn't happiness. It wasn't dread. It was somewhere in the middle.
But that's what that show is. Like when Gregor was in New York and it was Dirtiest Sketch Contest, he shaved his writing partner's asshole on stage. Shaved his writing partner's asshole. And then they did another sketch. This is like his young sketch group. No, these are 20-year-old guys who were trying to be cool. There was a guy on stage there was a guy in their sketch group who drank a ton of water all day, didn't let himself go to the bathroom.
Oh my God.
Or sweatpants. Then that he rubber banded at the legs.
No.
And then he pissed himself on stage and filled his sweatpants with like piss.
Did the rubber bands keep?
He got piss all over the stage. Like it's fucking gross, but it also is like very like downtown 1980s experimental theater.
Yeah.
There's something really, really amazing about it. I have a lot of questions about obviously like the comp, like, did you ask your friends, like, had they been tested? Cause you're putting yourself at risk for some STDs by drinking some random cum, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I knew the risk was pretty low.
Okay.
You know, your mouth is a germ killing machine unless you have open sores. I mean, I think it was safe to say I was the most disgusting person there.
I heard about another girl. Again, I apologize if you have a bad stomach, people in this universe listening to this podcast, but was that the same show where another, a friend of ours drank the contents of her Diva cup?
That, I don't know if it was the exact same night, but I'm sure it was Celebrity Bar Machine. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It absolutely was. That's a bad one. How did the cum taste, like being able to compare five different cups of cum, did the tastes differ?
They really did.
Interesting. Okay, like how?
Like one, I mean, some were more pungent. I'm so sorry. And some were just more like neutral. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like neutral or what you expect, which is like.
Okay, by pungent, do you mean on the yeasty side or the chlorine-y side?
You are trying to make our listeners vomit.
I am. I don't care.
Yeasty, like,
oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. It was not great, and I it was crazy. I was like on this high of like people like hate cheering me, and I remember at one point like I didn't mean to. I don't know if I meant to, but I also was like loving the spectacle. Where like, you know, I was like I almost blew a raspberry a little bit. Just to like further elicit this hate response.
You know what? That's fucking badass. I think that's really cool and rock and roll. And
I'm glad I did it when I was young enough to not fully be in touch with how insane it is. You know,
it's so funny you said you were young enough. Cause like, I guess I associate this with being pretty recent, but I, when you say that, I guess it was like at this point, 7 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it was like, you were like 17.
No, it's not that long ago. It's crazy.
I do feel like at the beginning of this episode, maybe you should, when you edit this, go back, see how long the gross stuff lasts and be like, just so you know, we're going to be talking about some pretty gross stuff. You can skip to and give a little time code.
I doubt we'll do that.
Okay,
I doubt it. Okay. Cool. Ruth's coming out on the main stage. What about this Playboy bunny pantsuit? I love it.
Oh God, I just love it.
It's gorgeous. It's fun and different. I haven't seen her in pants like this or I can recall, like sort of pantsuit thing. This is great.
Did you say that I can recall?
Ooh, I guess I did. Yeah, I love this. This is fun and different. And she still continues to look so, so gorgeous. I love the little bunny ear bow at the top. Love that.
Yeah, this whole thing is just great. Also, like, God, Rue looks so good.
Just so fucking great.
It makes me want to get work done. Because if I can look, well, because when I did, I don't know if we talked about it here, but like I did What's the Tea a couple years ago.
I remember it. I think it was a great episode.
Yeah. And Rue was like, so what work have you had done? And I was like, I've had no work done. And he was like, what? You've had nothing? He's like, no fillers. And I was like, no, nothing. And he was so shocked. But like seeing Rue both on the show, but also in person, like, yeah, like just like, if I could look timeless.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Time will come. The time, if that's right for you, the time will come. If not, don't do it. I mean, look, you just got your jumbos de-jumbos.
I just had plastic surgery. For those of you who don't know, I just got a breast reduction.
How are you feeling about that?
I feel great. I mean, talk about the body being disgusting. Like, there's nothing more interesting. It's why I also loved the show Nip Tuck. That Nip Tuck was all about the ugliness behind beauty.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
A perfect mind. Okay, keep going.
I fucking love that show.
Me too.
I watched it when I was.
I owned it on DVD.
Way too young. Yeah, you did. You want that director's commentary? I am healing well. I am almost 4 weeks out of getting the surgery, but I do have two stitches that have kind of come open. Mm. So it's gross. I mean, it's gross. And I said to my doctor, I was like, hey, some of my bandages get stinky. And my doctor was like, yeah, that's your body fluid, and body fluid is gross. She's like, the body's gross. So you should just change your bandages.
Scientifically speaking.
Because your body's gross. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. But so I had a breast reduction, and then part of the breast reduction was also doing liposuction on my upper back at what's called the bra roll, which it's that thing like when you're wearing a bra and you have this like pocket of fat below the bra. Every doctor I went to was like, oh, and we'll do your bra roll. Wow. And then a little of your like axilla, which is like, oh, kind of the part just over your breast. Like,
okay.
So I was already getting a little bit of lipo. And so the doctor was marking me up right before surgery. And I'm like, you know, basically naked as she's marking me up with a marker. And I'm like filled with adrenaline. And she goes, do you want me to do your love handles too?
Oh yeah.
And she was like, she's like, cause love handles, like it's really stubborn fat that like, it's really hard to go away with exercise. She's like, you're already going to be under. And I was
hell
like,
yeah.
Fuck yeah. So I now have had, oh, that's a whole thing, by the way, recovering from liposuction of your love handles. Cause you have to wear like surgical Spanx for a month. It's a whole thing. Anyway, so now that I've had work done, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I don't really want to. The one thing is, I think I don't want to make my face not look like a person, because most people, I think you and I've gotten more used to the idea of people having like fillers and Botox and Juvederm, mm-hmm. and that not counting as plastic surgery. A couple of years ago, I used to count that all as plastic surgery. I was like, well, that's work, right? But there are some people who were like, I've never had work done. And you're like, have you had fillers? They're like, well, yeah, of course I've had fillers, but I've never had like work done. And they, what uh-huh. they really mean is like a facelift. But I used to equate that all together because most of the country, that's the way most of the country.
You're changing your face.
Thanks. You're changing your face. It's not like a thing people, I mean, I think people do it and maybe don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like in LA, it is much more of a thing of like, oh yeah, I got a little Bobo today.
it is crazy. So
I think like it, the most important thing is just being able to have expression. I got a little Bobo.
Yeah, and you do not need it. Literally, let's reconvene in 15 years. You look flawless and gorgeous.
Thank you.
But literally, you literally can't, I mean, no one should revisit it until they're truly feeling like time is taking effect. I feel like, you know, you don't want to pump yourself up too early like a Courtney Cox lover. And love that she very, very honestly was like, I looked crazy. Love that for her.
Oh, did she say that?
Yeah. Yeah. Which I really love. She was like, I looked so fucking crazy. I don't know what I was thinking. It just didn't look right on me. People have different skin types, and my skin, it just did not look good on me. So love that for her.
I'm more open now. I used to be way more judgy of it all.
Yeah.
And I think because now I've had some work done on my body, I'm realizing, you know what, as long as it makes you happy, I think it just depends where you're coming at it from. If you're like, I don't know. I think of someone like Megan Fox, who's had like a ton of surgery, who's just already so, in my opinion, beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, is that coming from the most mentally healthy place to really like completely transform your face?
No.
You know,
that's not great.
As opposed to like, you know what, when I look in the mirror, I think I would just feel more like myself if I had fuller lips or what, I don't know, whatever is going to like,
I think,
make you happiest.
Yeah. I also think it's very strange. Like, I mean, whatever, duh, who cares? But like the Jenners, it's weird. It's weird that they got new bodies before they turned 18. Like, I think that's very sketchy, especially because it feels like it's part of this like family industrial complex.
Yes.
As opposed to I'm becoming my best self. It's like, well, we all look this way now. So go get cut up, baby, and get a new bottom half of your body.
I know. And people were really mean to, who's the one that they were mean to, who felt then the pressure to completely restructure her face? Yeah. So people were like mean to Chloe, and Chloe then, I mean, looks like completely like has remolded her face. I don't even know how
that. It's a new head. She got a new
head. So I think I'm just overall less judgy about it in that, like, I'm not one to judge whatever will make you happy. And look, when it comes to like that lady who's like, I want to be a human Barbie doll, is that some disorder that she has, some sort of like body dysmorphia, or is that what will make her happy?
You know, you're right
to say,
life is too short. And honestly, this year has proved life's too short. Delta, Lambda, Kappa, Yoda, Phi, who fucking knows what's next? So cut yourself up, live your best life. I don't care. Okay, we'll be right back. But first, we have to take a break.
Another one?
Yeah, can you believe it?
Oh, so many ads.
Okay.
What are the things you advertised for on this?
Oh, God, it depends. I have no clue what this week is, but usually BetterHelp.
Great.
Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like, to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, diva. So why should payday? Yes, I'm a robotic bitch. And the one thing that makes this robot go cuckoo ca-choo is money. Not tomorrow, today. And guess who helps with that? Earnin. That's right. Earnin will put the money in your hands today. You can get $100 per day or 750 buckarooskies per pay period. All you have to do is download the Earnin app, verify your paycheck. You get access to $100 a day as you work. And you can do it from absolutely anywhere in the darn world. That's why I love Earnin. It makes money easy because, you know, sometimes your employers act a fool, okay? Yeah, it's like they're in the Untucked Lounge and they're acting a fool girl. So whether it's for a special night out, you want to treat your loved one, an unexpected bill from the vet, yikes, or rent, bitch, you can use Earnin to your advantage. Make it a part of your financial routine. Join the over 3.5 million customers who say, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Plus, peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Dragher under podcast. When you sign up, it'll really help the show. That's Dragher under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Bring back my BetterHelp.
Bring it back. You know it. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Rach.
Everyone should be in therapy all the time.
They really should. They really should. It's really good for you. My God, I'm learning a lot about myself. I'm very serious.
Oh, my new therapist is blowing my fucking mind.
Yeah, I had a bad one for a while. And I'm like, thank God I have a good one now.
Sure, you have to find someone who you really gel with. Anyway,
let's talk about this.
Okay, yes, finally talking about the cunt monologues.
What did you think of Trinity's or the whole thing?
So Trinity's story was really good. The part that I took umbrage with was...
the kissing ass?
Yeah, just that ending where it's like, that's not the conclusion from the story.
Right.
That's what bothered me is like, it's this beautiful story. And then it's like, we both have RuPaul to thank. And it's like, no, that's like actually not the point of the story at all. And you're
right.
Just kissing RuPaul's ass and hoping that'll save you. So that bothered me.
It was a calculated risk that maybe wasn't totally... she forgot to carry the one when calculating.
Like, there are just so many other... I love the ending line where it's like, send me your hot roommate's information. Like,
yeah,
that was really funny. But like, there are so many other ways to tell that story that you can draw just a different... conclusion.
Yeah.
Like, get more into that conversation. There are just so many other ways to
honestly, a better moral would have been like, you're your own savior. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I've learned that I'm my own savior. And you know what I mean? You don't need anyone else to say, you know, you don't need anyone else but you. Just like I am on, you know, my journey.
And you don't need to catfish anymore. Like, you know, something like that where it's like, you're beautiful just the way you are. You don't have to pretend to be anything you're not. So no more catfishing for you.
But it wasn't bad, which is why when it came out first,
I was like,
she's fine. She's fine. She delivered, you know, because I was like, that wasn't that bad. But
I have a catfishing story.
You do?
Yeah. I'll tell you really quick.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. It's season 2 of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Uh-huh. I'm in a costume fitting and I get a text that's like, hey, Jessica, it's Andrew from last night. I just want to let you know, like, I had a really good time meeting you. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God, someone gave a guy a fake number.
No.
And the number happened to be mine. And I'm in the costume fitting and we're all like freaking out. And so I text him back and I'm like, hey, Andrew, I'm so sorry to tell you this. This is not Jessica. You have the wrong number. I think she gave you a fake number.
Fuck.
And he texts back something like, no, I thought I'd met. No, why doesn't she appreciate like a, I don't know, like a sweet science loving Harry Potter nerd. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, this guy sounds so sweet. And I was like, I'm sorry, man. And he was like, oh, well. And I was like, have a good day. And something happened where like I was in the costume and I just started asking him like, where did you meet this girl? Maybe she uh-huh. wasn't worth it. Anyway, so we get to talking and this guy sounds like he would be like one of my best friends. Like he's like, I don't know. I think it was like the Harry Potter thing. He was like, I'm a scientist living in Boston who like loves Harry Potter, who's Jewish, right?
Right.
Oh, and I think he said like atheist in there or something. Like it was all like the buzzwords. And I was like, oh my God. And so we just started.
He was like, also Sondheim, am I right?
Yeah, I think he might have. So we started talking. And eventually I'm like, this guy is fucking great. Like this guy uh-huh. seems like he would be one of my best friends. And eventually I was like, hey, you ever heard of the show Crazy Ass Girlfriend? He's like, oh my God, it's one of my favorite shows. I was like, I'm Rachel Bloom. Like you accidentally texted me. And I was like, don't post this online, but like, I trust you. You seem really cool.
Oh no.
And he was like, oh my God, I won't tell anyone. And I was like, honestly, my friend lives in Boston. She's single. She's a science teacher. I think I should set you up with her.
No.
And I went home and I told Gregor and he was like, this is crazy. None of this is real. But I showed him the text exchange and he was like, oh shit. He's like, I think this is legit. He's like, I think you're right. And so I text him the next night. I was like, hey, Andrew, do you want me to set you up with my friend? And the text I get back is, oh, hey, Rachel, I didn't think you'd text again. Huh?
Oh, no, no.
So I got to come clean.
No!
I was doing a deep dive.
Fuck.
Googling you.
Fuck.
And I found your phone number.
Fuck.
So that whole thing was a lie.
A big ruse.
I just thought like it would be a funny thing that would happen. I didn't think you'd ever text me again.
And then?
I promise I'm never sharing your number online. I found it on this website, which I found out was this improv website where I later got my phone number taken down from it. I was like, fuck. It was like, you have to do a really deep dive on me though, to see the website.
Did you block the number? What'd you do?
Well, no. So the last text was, at the end of the day, I'm just a girl who went too far.
Oh, God. Oh my God.
So and the thing is, I went on I blocked the number. Then I took the phone number and I tried to look for the number. It was unlisted everywhere. And then I saw like an ad for like, want to find someone? This is like the ultimate people finder. And I found out exactly who it was.
Oh.
And I recognized this person from meeting them at a couple shows. Like I know exactly who. No. I know exactly who it is. Yeah.
Yipes.
And I gotta say, I think this person was absolutely mortified with themselves. Like it was right. A very like, the conversation wasn't like, yeah, bitch, I punked you. It was like, I feel
right.
Weird and terrible. I never thought this would work. I'm so sorry for taking right. advantage of your trust.
Yeah. Holy shit. A classic Abu yeah. in the Cape of Wonders being like, oh no, I touched the ruby. I didn't actually think the ruby was going to melt the cave, but here we are.
Yes, a classic. You know what? That's exactly what my mind first went to when I was a classic Abu in the Cave of Wonders. Wait, speaking of that really quickly, yes. After my catfishing story, Yesterday, you were wearing a shirt.
Yes.
That was erotic Disney fan fiction. Can you give the name of that website so we can all buy that?
Oh, yes. It's Diamond in the Rough Clothing Co. That's Diamond in the Rough Clothing Co. You can find them on Instagram. They're great. They sent me a Vax for Vax t-shirt and an O Pit Crew t-shirt, which I love both of them so much. It features a lot of Disney characters in fun, inventive, creative, hilarious ways. The artist is rad. Go support them. They're great. They're great. They're great. They have stickers and all the other fun stuff. I love it. I love it.
Great. Okay. Sorry. So that was my catfishing story. So Trinity, I thought, was like,
it was fine.
The smoke up RuPaul's ass is like,
it was too much.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was, I thought it was a pretty good attempt for how down on herself Trinity was, of course, for no reason. But yeah, you know, here we are. Here we are. I guess I didn't think it was the worst, you know?
Yeah.
But whatever. Kylie tells a story about her first time in drag and how it helped her access her feminine side. That's pretty good.
Yeah, me too. And I also love the way Kylie told it. It just felt really like just
real,
intimate and real. And like, Kylie's fucking great.
She is fantastic. I also love how she is approaching this crown. Like, I love that she's just like very quietly and calmly approaching the crown. She could snatch it, which I would be so excited for. And like, to this whole Trinity conversation is like, they could have gotten rid of Kylie on this challenge and it would have been completely justified. But the fact that she's not putting out any nervous energy speaks to how important it is to fake it until you make it.
Or Kylie's just like really secure in who she is.
I hope
it's true and it's genuine. I really love this story as I'm kind of watching her share this story again. Mm-hmm. It was told so well. Like there's like two skills you have for this challenge. You have to have a good story, but then also it's all how you tell it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some people I know who like have amazing stories and they focus on all the wrong details. Like they don't know how to actually tell a good story. Mm-hmm. And Kylie really walked us through like what she was feeling at the time, how it felt. Like she really took us there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It was great. I was like, so here for this. I wouldn't assume this would be her challenge. I would have been okay if she won. I would have been like, yeah, she's great. I love this. Well, but I guess maybe her runway I was a little less obsessed with, but we'll talk.
Okay.
Ginger. What'd you think of Ginger's story about the red ruby slippers? Blah, blah, blah. I'm a little homo.
I love this story. I just think Ginger is the front runner in my head. Like the fact that Ginger got like most likely to be president, like, yeah, Ginger's super polished, but it's not a fake polish. It's just,
yeah,
Ginger's super fucking polished. Ginger's a fucking adult who's polished and like secure in who she is. And this story is so beautiful.
She is an adult. Like they said, the only thing they can knock is that she's so polished. That's the knock.
I mean,
which is like, you know, a pretty lovely knock to have on your record.
Yeah, but it's not, I don't know. I just don't see it as like a fake polish. There's something where it's like polish with no substance, but like, I just think that's kind of who Ginger is. Ginger is very precise and polished. And I don't know. I don't think pageanty with her.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I thought in the storytelling, there was a few moments I was like, I don't love that. But overall, I understand, like, I think like she's so impressive. And I think truly, let's be real, as a queen of size, she has to be this polished because everyone is ready to discredit her drag because it might be a little different than what we see on the fucking runways of Paris, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was good. She's funny. She's great. She can tell a story. And when she hosts a show, I've already said this before, but I'll say it again. She's incredible as a host.
I'm sure. I really like that also All Stars this season, I think they've done this on previous seasons, but like between this and Pink Table Talk, really being like, okay, how is a person just as a role model, like as just being themselves, like, who are they? How are they just being like candid and real? Because that is a real fucking skill if you're going to represent this brand, for lack of a better word at this point.
Agree. It's a huge part of it, especially because drag queens are, you know, mostly like they're hosts. They interact with people. They interact with brands. You just have to be cool to talk to.
Yeah.
What do you think of Raja's story? Maybe there was that slip up at the beginning. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was like a little too polished and like spoken in a way that I didn't fully connect to. It's a really fun story, but like, you know, Raja admittedly, like this isn't her thing, and you could just tell. Like, but it's a really fun, story, and there were some really funny jokes.
It was fun. Yeah, it was probably like my least favorite of the stories, but it's still good. I love that she recovered and it wasn't like a continued train wreck. But it was maybe my least favorite story overall, because I was like, whatever, popped a tuck. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I also wanted more description of, I just feel like she could have brought us there a little bit. Like, what did that, okay, so popping a tuck, what did that look like? Mm-hmm. What outfit was she wearing? Mm-hmm. I want to know like what the result of that was. Like, I couldn't really get a visual on like what the implications of that meant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She should have a picture of her dick. She should have a picture of her dick ready to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, it was fine. I mean, I thought she could have been in the bottom, or like what is the illusion of the bottom, right? With everyone in the bottom, there's a bottom and then like this actual bottom that is more nebulous. And finally, we have Miss Eureka O'Hara. What'd you think?
This is really well told.
Yeah.
It was really fun. And I think also just like, it's because on its surface, it's just like a fun story. It doesn't have, you know, as much gravitas as like, as Ginger's story or Trinity's story or Kylie's story, but like, it was just really well crafted and told.
Yeah, kind of worked. It worked for me. I liked that, like, her story was probably my favorite to listen to. And I do enjoy the moments that, or, you know, whether this is like stage monologues, we're torn between if this is a stage monologue show or a moth thing, right?
I mean,
the show doesn't know what they want exactly. But I think that's why they love it. It's a perfect challenge to be like, we want to do more this way or we want to do more that way. Because I think the winner of this challenge is a part of production. Because anyone could have won. Anyone can win.
I think it was but Kylie could have won this. I was going to say it was between Ginger and Eureka. But but I like that, like, I just like the way that Eureka was like, the moral of the story is like, it was a real, like, she crafted it well.
Yeah, she did. She did.
Okay,
she did.
We're looking at the runway now. I really love this theme.
Fashion fails. I do too. I was confused by the ways in which we used it or the ways in which they were critiqued for using it. I was just, it was confusing to me, but I love the idea of a fashion fail runway.
Yeah, I think that like, Trinity's was confusing because you didn't see what it was until the very end. Like, I was like, oh, are the gloves bad? No, those are really cool gloves. But I thought that was really smart, like beautiful safety pins.
Yeah, I thought this was great. Like, I was like, for the fashion fail, because also I'm so confused that they were like fashion, but fail. And to me, I'm like, yeah, Trinity did that. There's the fashion and then there's the fail. But I guess it was very subjective on how they felt like this met this sort of vague prompt.
Didn't you have a suggestion a couple weeks ago on the show that was like, why the hat?
Yes.
I love that idea for a runway.
Why? Oh my God. This is essentially okay, but why the hat?
But why the hat?
Okay. This is a snippet.
Okay. But why the hat?
Why the hat? Yeah. I like this. I would chirp this. I wouldn't personally knock this. What do you think?
Oh yeah. I'm a chirp for this.
I like it.
I totally am. I think it's exactly what the challenge is.
I do too. I liked it. Okay, Raja O'Hara.
This is so cool. This is a really great, this is just such a great idea that you're like half zipped up and someone walked in on you. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's a unique silhouette. I love it. I love it.
And the fact that she makes all of her clothes is just so, like, that alone is just so top four.
Yeah, it is very top four. I like that she took the second to be like, I make my own clothes. I'm not bragging, but I'm just letting you know.
Fucking cool.
I've made everything. Yeah, this is great. I am just confused by the judges' critiques where they're like, this is more obvious. Because I could see the judges looking at this and saying, like, what's the fail? Like, it makes
sense. But I think she sold it, like, coming out with the mm-hmm. especially in the beginning. I think she sold it. I wish she had, like, almost stuck with that whole time.
Yeah.
We're, like, trying to keep it together. I think once you drop the guise of keeping it together, it does look like a cool gown. But if you have the context of, like, someone walked in on me.
It's a chirp. It's a chirp, for sure. It works.
Oh, I'm chirping all of these, by the way.
Good. Good to know. Okay, so Kylie Sonique Love in her hot dog on a stick.
I'm a chirp. This is great.
I liked it okay. I don't know why I wanted a little bit more. I guess I just... I guess this works, but I think I don't like something about it, and I can't put my finger on it. Maybe I just don't...
The hot dog under the skirt is great.
Hot dog under the skirt is great. I don't know. Maybe it's the wig. I don't know. There's something about this where I was like, we're so close to the end and you're wearing like I get the look, but
it's a little Halloween adventure. Actually,
it's like a little bit.
You could go and just be like slutty hot dog on a stick lady. Like that might be what it is. It's just, it's very, very simple.
It's a little simple for me. I'm going to give it the lightest of burps because I just think it's a little goofy. It's a little goofy for me, but
You're right. That is your right as an American.
Thank you. I am American. Okay. Ginger.
Oh, this was so smart.
It was great.
And now I'm realizing she always had the little mark.
Yes.
On her thing, but like, it looked like it almost appeared there.
Yes. Yes. I also had to go back and check.
It's interesting. I wouldn't call it a fashion fail.
No.
Except for the mark on the thing. It's more like a hair fail. That having been said, this was so smart.
I mean, the dress is pretty hideous. Maybe that's its own fashion. I don't know. The performance is 10 out of 10. This was my favorite performance and storytelling with the burns and the separate places. Dress is pretty crazy bad, but maybe that's the point.
Well, she's like, I'm a 1950s, you know, I'm going to prom in the 50s or whatever.
Very Hairspray.
It was really cool. It was so fucking smart.
I guess I have to chirp it because the performance and the steamy thing was great.
Yeah.
Okay. Eureka. A lot of things happening. Hair falling out, blown by the wind, pit stains.
Yeah. I didn't really know. You know what? I still love this a lot. I don't know what the story was per se.
No, it's just kind of everything.
It was everything because, like, your hair is blown, which through no fault of Eureka's, I'm sure UK didn't air it, but Joe Black did this on UK with the windblown.
Right.
Remember that, like, windblown look? So, like, windblown, the skirt was tucked up, and it was everything. So it didn't really tell me, like, a story of what the fail was, where it was like, okay, you got caught in the wind, but also you had a bathroom emergency. I don't know. I'm still a chirp.
I'm gonna burp it. Be a complicated monster. I just was like, this is just like such a like fine dress for Eureka. I feel like she really brought it more on her other seasons. I love her, but this I'm like just not obsessed with. So I'm gonna give it a light burp.
You know, it's very interesting. I mean, it's interesting in general with Eureka coming back to All Stars. Like, Eureka's the one of the stars of a popular show on HBO of all places. Like,
no,
like it feels like a little bit of a de-heightening for her to be back on All Stars because she already is an All Star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree. Like, she's, going to be taken care of for a second. So it's interesting. It's interesting to see her journey and be like, does she need this? I think she has every right to do. I mean, you know, take space. And I think taking space is a beautiful thing. But
totally. I guess it was just like, well, I don't know. There's that rumored
redemption.
There was like a rumored upcoming like winter season or something. And it'll be interesting if that actually is a thing of like, okay, what's the incentive to bring?
Right.
You did it. You won.
I guess I think it is like being part of the conversation, I think is like beneficial to people's careers, I think. And like truly their booking fees. Cause if you do something great on this show, you're immediately like more bookable in so many more gay spaces. And I think that just is like money, money, money.
Right.
I'm
sure they can't film We're Here during COVID. So Eureka's probably like, well, what the fuck else am I?
Right.
I'm not filming my show right now. Like
that part.
Like it actually is like you have to be isolated from everyone anyway. Like it's the perfect COVID activity.
It's honestly, either be at home sad or like fuck around on a stage. Let's go fuck around on a stage.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's great. Eureka wins. She has to decide who to put in the bottom. Who would you have eliminated? Huh? Would you have gone gaggy? I don't know if I would have. I would not have put Trinity's lip sync up. I'm sorry, lipstick. I wanted Trinity to be in the final. I really did. I know she's been sourpuss down, but I just want to see her in that final.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I would have chosen Raja. But Trinity kept bringing up, I've been in the bottom the most times. Mm-hmm. So I guess I probably would have chosen Trinity because she brought up that stat over and over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She sure did. She sure loved bringing it up. I know. I was just like, Trinity, fight for yourself. Say, I've won two challenges. I deserve to be in that final. But she never, or at least we never see her say that. We just see her say like, I hope you don't.
Yeah.
Go harder! I would have been a monster and probably either gotten Kylie or Ginger out.
Really? You would have just gone strategic.
Yeah. I would have either cut Kylie because she's the only other person with one win.
In that case, you better win. If you're going to do that, Mono, then you need to be the winner because otherwise you will be hated.
Hated. Yeah, I get that. I 100% get that. Yeah, it's really tough. But I think it could have been a fun TV moment if someone's like, Ginger, bye.
I like the idea of someone coming on the show and just being full disclosure. If I ever win and I have power, I am going to eliminate the front runner.
Yes, like, moment.
Someone saying that up front, being like, I'm going to do that. Strategically.
No, it didn't work for Morgan McMichaels, but it could work. I mean, I don't think you have to save it for the right moment like a Naomi Smalls. Or she was like, oh, I'm mean now. I sent home Manila. You know, that you have to find that one teeny moment. So, okay. So here we go. We are work. We are now at our lip sync. Holy damn moly. We got Clowny. We got Clowny Eureka going up against Mystery Silhouette. Who is this? Oh my God, who is it? Oh my God, it is none other than season 12 winner, the gaggy, amazing, beautiful, perfect human, Jada Essence Hull.
This is great.
I'm so happy to see her.
Oh, she looks so good. And especially like I'm glad to like see her back just because I feel like out of every season, she's been the most shafted because it was the COVID season.
So shafted. She's been so shafted.
Yeah.
She's incredible. It's really rough. I loved this lip sync. I will say, who did you think won this lip sync of Lil Richard's? What's this fucking song called? Holy shit. This Lil Richard song
It's Good Golly Miss Molly.
Good Golly Miss Molly.
This is pretty fucking good. I assumed it was going to be Eureka. Mm-hmm. I think she told more of a story, but Jada had so much energy.
You know what's funny? I prefer Jada.
Interesting.
I just like that. I feel like Jada, to me, gave a performance that was specifically Jada or specific to the song. Whereas I felt like Eureka did a Eureka style lip sync.
Okay, that's a good point.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, they clearly both brought it. And when it was a double, when I wasn't like, no, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Oh man, I'm watching Jada. Jada's pretty fucking great.
She's fantastic.
She's really embodying the song in a great way that like, that I feel like she's embodying the style of the song and Little Richard in a way that you're right. I don't know. I'm split. I agree with it.
They're
should
both
be a tie.
Fantastic. I'm here for the tie. But yeah, for me, Jada,
the clown has nothing to do with the song, obviously.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, no fault of Eureka's, but yeah. It's very funny.
It is very funny. And it's that lovely time towards the end where they're like, okay, I got this pretty good thing. I clearly can't wear it for one of these other, you know, I have my final thing picked out. Might as well wear my fucking clown outfit. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. That reveal was very cool.
It was really cool. Jada's earrings are popping everywhere. Look, we get it. They both win and they both happened. Whoa! I love Jada's jump split.
Oh, so good.
They both happen to send Trinity home. And Trinity goes from top four to top five. God damn it.
No, it sucks.
But
I also think that like top four always seems like two. I feel like it should be a top three.
Okay, right.
Whenever we get into these finals, there's always one extra person where I'm like, but they're not winning. Like, can we just make it a top three? Like I felt like that way on UK with when they kept. Oh God.
Oh,
it was Ellie. When they kept Ellie Diamond, I was like, but Ellie Diamond's not going to win over.
Right.
At the time, I thought was Bimini. Like
me too. Me too.
Like it just seems like it just should be a top three. And I guess I felt the same way with, I mean, this last season, Gottmik, Simone, Candy Muse, and there was one more, Rosé. I just felt the way of like, I don't think Rosé is winning over. Well, really, it was between Gottmik and Simone, obviously,
yes,
for me.
Obviously. I mean, look, these are just facts. These are just factual facts.
They're just facts. Exactly. They're just facts. But
we are not being subjective. We are being factually factual.
Oh, yeah. No. There is no opinion.
Here.
There's no opinion.
Just science.
This is just scientifically what happens. So I always think the top four is a little bit like it's just one too many. I just think it should be top three. But whatever.
I just would have loved to, you know, Trinity would have murdered this choreo.
It absolutely would have. That's true.
Challenge, which bums me out. But instead we get to see Ginger do it. Awesome. I'm being a total cunt. No, but I do love Ginger. For you think it's Team Ginger. It's her win all the way.
I just feel like this is her time is the feeling I'm getting. I think it's Ginger, but I think that Kylie could sneak up.
I do too.
Like I think it's, for me, it's between Ginger and Kylie.
I do genuinely love that it really is down to this finale. Like genuinely, anyone can take this. I think I would be the most excited by Kylie.
Yes.
I'll be absolutely happy. You're right. Ginger has been giving everything for decades to come to this point. So it would also be very gratifying if she won.
She's just been kind of crushing it. Has Ginger been in the bottom?
I guess just through a couple silly moments, she's been in the bottom. Like when they were like, your whole team is in the bottom. She was in the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And I guess through the merit of this, everyone but the winner is the bottom.
No, I guess like, had she ever been before this, like in the bottom? And the answer is like, no, she's pretty much been.
Yeah.
Been just consistently.
Yeah.
Amazing. Like it feels like a Bianca, you know, never having to lip sync.
Right.
Type of consistency.
Very consistent. Very exciting. Yeah. If Raja sneaks up, amazing.
Look, that'd be fucking great. That'd be really fucking cool. I'm I'm just letting the season wash over. It seems like it's between Ginger and Kylie, but also like, you know, Eureka could come. I don't know, but I think it's between Ginger and Kylie.
I do too.
Is my gut.
Happy for either of them. Gaggy. Rachel, thank you for coming on the pod. I'm sorry we talked too long. I always get too excited when I have you on. Is there anything you can plug before we say ta-ta?
At the moment, like literally nothing. Like I truly
you're just living your best
nothing.
Life.
I'm just living my best life. If you want to support me, I guess you can just like Google search me and put like for the past month and see if there's anything you can support.
You have exciting stuff coming up on the horizon. You have stuff in the future.
Yeah, there's some stuff exactly. Everything that's cool is on the horizon. So I guess like,
stay tuned, babe.
Support me in a couple months.
Stay tuned, babes. Yeah.
You're right, babes.
If you love Drag Her, follow us on Instagram at Drag Her Podcast. Support us by giving us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. It makes such a difference. It really does. It helps our ads. It helps our world. It keeps this podcast free. So keep it up like this genius who said that part. 5-star review from Randall. Take a shot every time Mono says that part. But you get alcohol poisoning in the first 5 minutes. Honestly, that part.
Say that part. You also say very that.
I love to say very that. I love it. I do. So go do that. Thank you for giving us and stay tuned for a winner next week. Good golly, Miss Molly, I'm so excited. Till next time. Bye, bitches.
Boop, 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 boop.
Beep, beep, beep. That was a HeadGum Original.